I'm here to read the daily word today. I envision my future as I live my dreams. The biggest dreams often start small. More than 130 years ago, businessman Charles Fillmore, prompted by his wife's spiritual healing, decided to try meditation to see for himself whether there was anything to it. Those earliest efforts changed their lives and became their life's work. Today, the Unity spiritual movement they founded touches lives all over the globe. Likewise, as I follow the promptings of my heart, I may be surprised at the direction I find myself moving. Yet I answer the call and trust it. My destination becomes increasingly clear with each step I take in the direction of my dream. There are no limits to what I can envision and work toward. In faith and with trust, I step into a brilliant future, even greater than I imagined. And from the Bible, according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness. From Samuel.
She's reading from our daily word, which is, many of you are aware of, an opportunity to be inspired every day with different inspirational readings. And this month we're giving the copy away free out in the front room, so grab one if you haven't already. This booklet covers 2 months, so this is July and August. And you also might have noticed the banner out there for the daily words that I'll be speaking from based on your choices. So today's the last day to put your vote up on the banner as your top three choices for what I can talk about between now and the end of September. So make sure you do that as you go out the door. If you're watching online, choose your top three. Maybe somebody online can post the list from last week. I know, Danette, you're probably out there. And so just vote for your top three in the chat on Facebook and we'll pick that up, or you can email it to admin@unityinnaperville.org. So our word for today is envision, as Shoshana shared with us. And there's a scripture that I'm familiar with from, gosh, when I first started reading the Bible, ministers were preaching on this from Proverbs 29 on the screen here. Without a vision, the people perish. We're not talking about mass death, but we are talking about a lack of enthusiasm for life if we don't have a vision. Sometimes when you read that scripture, it's interpreted as prophecy. And prophecy is something that hasn't happened yet, but we have a picture of it. A modern word that we might use today is a goal. Have you set a goal? You know, it's easy for us to get up in the morning and go back to bed at the end of the day and realize we didn't really have a goal for the day. We just kind of went through it. Same old, same old. Make sure that we ate, that we're still alive. We find a way to do that, right? Yes, we do. And the same thing can happen in a year's time. I mean, how many times do we go from birthday to birthday and realize, wow, this year just flew by and where did it go? What did I do? What did I express or create in a new way? This time that we have here is so precious. Mostly because as spiritual beings, we come in here specifically to create. And it is such a joy for our soul to do that, to grow, to expand and evolve. And there's only so many bodies to get into to do that. So there's spirit on the other side just standing in line waiting, like, when's it going to be my turn? What are you doing with your time down there? You don't want to come back up out of the body and go, whoops, I blew that. So we're kind of continuing on with what we talked about the first couple of weeks in this series, about how our intention is to grow, which is what our spirit came here to do, and our intention is to begin growing, taking steps toward that direction. Esther Hicks talks about it this way. She says, you want the desire because it's the idea or the goal or the creation that is responsible for a good amount of life force to flow through you. The main event is the life force that is flowing through you, not the manifestation. Get that? That's big. Most of the time we think, okay, it's my goal to get married. It's my goal to buy a house. It's my goal to get a new career going. It's not actually the end result that is our goal as spirit. It's the process of experiencing in creating and drawing to us that draws life force through us. That's how the Spirit of God expresses. And that's where the fun is. It's not all about waiting till you get to the end and saying, I've got it. Okay, she says, the main event is the life force that's flowing through you, not the manifestation. If you don't believe us now, wait until that manifestation has popped and realize that its power to draw life through you will be greatly diminished. That's why you keep wanting another goal and another goal and another goal. Can you relate to that? So just think about how you were looking forward to something, and then it happened, and there was this huge letdown, right? When you were looking forward to it, you were enthused, you were excited, your energy was flowing. You get there, it's kind of a bummer. It's all over with. Because the real life force is happening in the process of creation. So if we're not offering a vision out to the universe through us, we're wasting that life force. It's when we hold an intention that we come alive and we thrive. So I'm going to work through 5 steps today that help us do that. We call the envision process to help us bring that life force through us. Starting with, up here on the screen, our desire. We have to have the desire first. We have to know where we're going. We have to have some kind of goal or intention within us. And oftentimes, you might be sitting here right now with an intention. What's your intention? Do you know it? Okay, so some of you have it, but some of you are still trying to find it. And that's when you can turn it in from intention to invitation, to allow spirit to show you what the desire is. That's why the scripture from Psalms 37 here on the screen says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Keep your focus on the spiritual dimension, on the presence of God working through you. And those desires will show up in your conscious awareness. So this is how unity began. You heard Shoshana when she was reading the daily word. First, Myrtle had an intention to be well again. Spirit laid on her heart the desire to heal when the doctor said, you've got 6 months to live. And she began to see herself differently, hold an intention of life in her body until she ended up healing and living another 40 years. Well, that inspired her husband, Charles, and he began meditating. And what happened for him was he started having dreams that were guiding him towards an intention. Very clear, vivid dreams. There was a point in their life where he was going to move the family out of town. They lived in Kansas City. And he was meditating regularly. And then in his sleep one night, he had a dream that was so clear, not to leave town, to stay in the Kansas City area. There was going to be a great work for he and Myrtle to do there. And guess what it was? You're sitting in it. The great work that's been going on for over 130 years. That's exciting. So that time in meditation can invite spirit to lay that desire on your heart. And those desires don't have to be huge. They can be big or small. I mean, sometimes it would be a desire for us just to be able to pay our bills every month. But it also could be a desire to raise enough money to start a nonprofit. Maybe your heart desires just to have enough strength to get out of bed in the morning. But it could be a desire to run a marathon. Maybe the desire is to heal an argument that you've had with your spouse, but you also may have a desire to end violence in the city of Chicago. There's a big one. Yeah. So just notice what you did just then. Your response to that idea was that, yeah, or was that, Notice that response. We're going to get back to that here in a minute. You might have a desire to change a bad habit, or you might have a desire to deepen and strengthen and evolve a talent that you have. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's an opportunity to draw that life force through you. That light of God is waiting in the spiritual dimension and can only work for us as it can work through us. So when we start to know what it is that our heart is calling us to, the next step in this process on here on the screen is to know the law. To know the law and to use it consciously. The law is working all the time. We talk about that here regularly. The simplest description of the law is cause has an effect, a related effect. It's an opportunity to take our desire and make it happen. What we hold in our heart, we create. It's our third principle in unity up here on the screen, that we create our life experience through our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs. Now, most of the time, if we're not consciously using that law, a wish will come into our mind, and the first thing that will pop up from the subconscious is, you're not enough to do that, or there's not enough to do that, because that's what you've heard and learned throughout your life. And that's the job of the subconscious, to repeat back to you what's happened before. So you have to be aware that that's going to try and pop up, and then consciously use the law instead, which means only focus on the things that you want. Something that Michael Berg, who's a teacher of Jewish mysticism, wrote in his book, which by the way is an awesome book called Becoming Like God. He says, in order for the light of the Creator to be revealed, there must be a vessel to receive it. The name of that vessel is certainty. And the level of light revealed depends on the strength of that certainty. It is only the vessel that limits the amount of light manifested. So what's the vessel? Consciousness. This is where certainty is born. Certainty for what you want or certainty for what you don't want. So we must become a certain consciousness about what it is that we're reaching for. And that is what draws forth that light of God to become things, to become the desire on our heart. We just follow what Jesus is teaching. Let it be done to you as you believe. What am I certain about? And is it in alignment with my desire? So remember that when he talks about your belief, that's just a thought that you keep practicing, that you hold in your consciousness over and over again to activate that divine law. And yes, you want to hold thoughts about the desire in a positive way, but I would say more importantly, your thoughts should be focused on who you are as a spiritual being, where God is, what God is, how the universe works through God. Keep that in mind. I mean, some of the things that we teach in here regularly is what we said here today, one power. We think there's powers working against us, but in truth, there's only one. It's the omnipotence of God, and that power's nature is good. So instead of worrying and pushing against something, we hold the thought that there's only power here working for me and everyone else around me. And another thing that we want to hold in mind is this idea that this presence, this omnipresence of God, is the spiritual energy we need to form into the thing. So oftentimes the doubt comes up about not enough money to do what we want to do. But if we can remember that the spiritual presence of God as energy, as light, the light that Jesus talks about, is infinite in nature, then we know we have enough to do whatever it is that our heart is calling us to. So consciously choose thoughts about the truth of God in our lives and in this universe. And as we do that, we hold our desire, knowing that there is a law of attraction out there ready to bring it to us as we hold it strongly in our hearts and minds. Then we also want to take step three, which is to use our picturing power to strengthen that belief. I see it as this secret room in our mind that nobody else can enter. You are the only one who has access to your power of imagination. And it's this beautiful room where anything can be dreamed. Anything can be dreamed. How many of you are a Harry Potter fan? Anybody? Okay. So in the movie, in the books, there's this thing called the Room of Requirement. And when the kids had a need, when they were trying to solve a problem or they wanted to create something, they just kind of wander through the halls with it on their mind with that strong intent. And it would draw to them the Room of Requirement. The door would just appear and they could go in, and inside they would find anything that they needed in order for them to experience what their heart desired. That's what your imagination is like. It's open and receptive and infinite in nature. There's no limit to it. So get in there and name what you desire. See the color of it, the sounds, the smells, the tastes of whatever it is that you desire until you've added a lot of detail in your mind's eye. And if you're not sure of the details that you're seeking for your desire, then just hang out in the vicinity of it. What do you know about this thing that you desire that might attract more information? That's what Einstein did when he was coming up with the theory of relativity. He knew he was searching for something, but he didn't quite know what it was until he started mulling over these other laws of physics, and he literally attracted the theory of relativity into his conscious awareness. He's one that would say imagination is more important than knowledge, because that's where the creation starts, is in that place. So if we're sorry about something we've done in the past, get into that room and imagine what it would be like if you did it differently, so that next time you run into that situation, you're ready. If you are struggling with only knowing what you don't want, then get in there and think of what the opposite of that is. What would you prefer instead? Use that room, that power of imagination, when you're worrying. If you're tired of worrying, which I'm hopeful that you are, if you're tired of worrying, then go in there and imagine what it feels like to be at peace. You don't need to know how you're going to get there. Just go right there in your imagination. What does your body feel like? How are you breathing? How are your emotions relaxing? Just let that idea come into the picture. Rather than spend all your time complaining about the world around us, going to hell in a handbasket, how about if you get into that imagine room and start picturing how you would like to see the world, where everything and everyone is working together for good. So when I said ending violence in Chicago, and your response was something like, oh, that's hard. Yeah, we're used to that. We're used to that being hard. But this is the purpose of our power of imagination, to get in there and see things differently. When you see things differently, you will be attracted to ideas that will help make that happen. Doesn't have to be on a huge scale. Don't worry about the details. That's the universe's job. God knows exactly how to handle that problem as long as you get into the essence of it. So rather than sit here and focus on all of your flaws, what if you got in that room and imagined, I'm forgiven, I'm loved, I'm whole. What does that look like? Who am I when I hold those ideas in that room? When Jesus said, let your eye be single and your whole body will be full of light, he's saying, focus on truth about yourself. And then everything in your life will follow suit. Something that Winifred Houseman wrote, she's a teacher, writer in Unity, said that thinking happy thoughts, expecting good, opening yourself to God ideas will set the stage for harmonious, prophetic images on the screen of your mind. This is to be so at one with the source that we see with the eyes of spirit. Charles Fillmore suggests seeing God as the foundation of all, the source of all, the substance of all, seeing the good, the true, and the beautiful everywhere. One of my favorite visions to hold, especially when I'm concerned about resources, is to get in that room and envision the entire universe filled with golden snowflakes falling everywhere. Not just in my space, but in my house and in the city and in the state, in the country, around the world, around the universe, filled with golden snowflakes, and associate those with the divine spiritual energy of God, the substance of God. That's what things are made of. That's where resources come from. How much of that is it? That was weird English, I know. How much substance is there? Infinite. So that takes care of the worry about where it's going to come from. It's everywhere present. And I'm going to use that power of imagination to see it and form it into whatever it is that I'm seeking. And step three, that visioning power, is important because what it does is it starts to lead towards your feelings. Step four is about feelings. Why are feelings important? I've spoken of this enough that you should be able to answer that question. Why are feelings important when you're creating something? They're vibrations. And what about vibrations? They attract. Yes, much stronger attraction through feeling than through envisioning. So the visioning will get you to a feeling, and then it's our job to hold on to that feeling. So this feeling could be imagining what it would be like when it's complete. Esther Hicks says it this way up here on the screen. If you don't take time to line up the energy, if you don't find the feeling place of what you're looking for, no amount of action in the world will make any difference. I've read that before because to me it's so powerful. You think that it's all about activity. It's not. It's about your feelings. And I'm not saying you won't be taking action at some point, but we have to get into the feeling nature in order for us to be guided to attract ideas from that mind of God, to line up with that divine wisdom so that we can begin to take action. So it's easy for us, for the ego, for the subconscious, to feel the absence of something. And we know that when all we're focused on is, where is it? Why don't I have it? What if I don't get it? But what kind of feelings does that bring up? Helpless, hopeless, sadness, worry, doubt. What kind of things do those feelings attract? Things to worry about, things to feel helpless about. So yes, we're good at that because we've practiced it so much. But now it's time to support our desire by creating feelings based on pictures that affirm this is available to me. How do we feel when the desire is fulfilled? Content, happy, excited, elated, at least relieved, right? Even if you can get to relieved or hopeful, your energy is in alignment with those ideas. So Neville Goddard, big, big writer on this topic of imagination from a ways back in time. His language is interesting, but here he goes. After you've assumed the feeling of the wish fulfilled, do not close the experience as you would a book, but carry it around like a fragrant odor. Let it remain in the atmosphere, communicating its influence automatically to your actions and reactions. A mood, often repeated, gains a momentum that's hard to break. You know that, right? Where it's like pulling teeth to exercise the first time, but it makes it easier to do it the second time and then the third time, and then you're on fire, right? So just keep that in mind. What mood am I in today when I think about my desire? Am I aligned with it or working against it? And what do I need to do to change that alignment? So if you're in a mood that says, not today, or it's too much, or I'm never going to get there, then one more way that you can help your feelings is to use your words. Use your words. When you speak a word, it has a meaning. Yes, every word has a different meaning. And those words' meanings have their own form of energy. Science will tell you everything is energy, including your thoughts and your words. So here these words come out of our mouth. They have a certain energy or frequency depending on what they mean. And we regularly use our words either for us or against us. And whether we say we can or can't, whether we say it's impossible or it's possible, you're right. That's how it works, because you're aligning with whatever energy you're talking about and you're attracting more of the same. How often do we speak and basically paint with energy using certain words that are working against us? We could talk badly about someone because we are justified. We could talk badly about them because we are absolutely certain that they are bad. But that is not hurting them in the least. The words coming out of your mouth, no matter who they're intended for, are radiating from your being, and you're the only one attracting back. So if you're using words against someone else or yourself, you're using them against yourself. Our words are powerful based on their meaning, and they're only powerful for who's doing the speaking. Tell a story. Wouldn't it be nice if, use big words, exciting words. This is going to be exciting. I am certain that this can be done. What a wonderful opportunity I have. I'm looking forward to this joyful experience. Yeah, they sound corny, but they actually hold an energy to them that aligns you with whatever it is that you're seeking. So we're talking about speaking words about the desire, but again, go back to speaking words about God in you. I am a spiritual being, and I have the power, and I have eternity, and I have creativity of God in me to do whatever my heart desires. Say those words out loud. That out loud vibration communicates with the universe, but it also is educating your subconscious so that you carry it around with you as that fragrance everywhere you go. When Jesus said in Matthew 4, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, our sustenance is not Wonder Bread that we eat. Ooh, could probably do something. Wonder Bread, yeah. Our words are Wonder Bread. Our words, when they're aligned with spirit, are Wonder Bread that not only sustain the body, but also sustain the vision for our life. And from Isaiah, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That's pretty powerful. What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? When you think about your desire, when you envision it, how are you talking about it? What words are filling up your house or your car? Does it align with what you want, or is it working against you? Anita Moorjani, we've heard from in the past as someone who had a near-death experience. When she left the body, her experience of the spiritual dimension was everything that could happen was already happening all at the same time. There's no timeline. There's no beginning and end. It's just all happening at once, and all possible things are happening at once. So that can blow your mind. But how about this, what she says here? Everything I could ever want to happen in my life already exists in that infinite non-physical plane. My only task is to expand my earthly self enough to let it into this realm. I'm going to say that again. My only task is to expand my earthly self enough to let it into this realm. So if there's something I desire, the idea isn't to go out and get it, but to expand my own consciousness to allow universal energy to bring it into my reality here, to allow the power of God to work through and as me. That's pretty interesting. I'm not saying that you're never going to take action towards your desire, but the most important thing we can do is begin by knowing it is done in God's mind. And now I'm aligning with it in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions, in my body. Everything about me is radiating this result before it even happens, because it's already radiating in spirit. And as I align with it, now I'm aligned with God's guidance and will be shown the steps to take to create. This process is about having the desire, knowing what it is, calling forth that divine law to work for you instead of against you, knowing that it is working and being conscious of how you're using it. Getting into your room of imagination and picturing all the details that you can, or inviting spirit to show you what it might look like. Using those pictures to generate feelings in you until you're feeling enthused, or at least open and receptive that this is possible, that I'm hopeful. If we can get to hope, we don't have to be blasted with enthusiasm to get there. Just get to hope. That's enough to be aligned. And once you're in that feeling of hope, then just keep affirming it with your words. So Jesus told us, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. You've got the process now to do that, the envision process. We use words in unity often. And out here in the front room, it's rare that you will walk in here on a Sunday when there isn't something to take home that has affirmative words in it. Handouts, the daily words out there to pick up. There's little booklets on all kinds of topics with positive affirmations and truth in, enclosed in them. Take a look and see what speaks to your heart today before you leave. That's how we begin to align and become a receptacle of certainty for divine light, the life force to flow through us. Let's practice this in meditation. Ah, here we are. Let's take a moment to just settle into that chair. Feel its support. That you can completely let go and relax as that chair supports your being. And it's an opportunity for us to breathe that life force through our lungs. This next deep breath, imagine this is the breath of life, the breath of God flowing through you. Allow that power of divine life to tingle through every cell of your body. Know it as the light of God that you are. I am a spiritual being. My heart knows the desire. I open up to that idea that is calling life force through me, large or small. Anything is possible. I release any ideas of realistic. And instead, open my heart to infinite possibilities. I sense the power, the omnipotence, the divine law at work. Designed to bring my heart's desire as I become it. Waiting for my direction. And I hold in that imagine room the very picture of that which my heart desires. It might just be that I'm seeking peace. I don't worry about the details in this room. I simply let Spirit provide them. What does it feel like to be at peace? What does it look like? When I am at peace, perhaps strength is calling you. When I'm filled with strength, what am I doing that I couldn't do before? How does it look? How do I feel? Maybe I'm seeking to end a conflict in my life. And in this room of imagination, I see myself with this person shaking hands, smiling, trusting that the highest good is working for both involved, all involved. Relaxed, knowing that the universe is working for both of us, and there's enough good for each of us to have our needs met. My heart's desire is already done in spirit. And now I know what is mine to do, who I am to be, how I am to feel, giving thanks that everything needed is provided, that my mind is open and receptive to divine wisdom, that the power of love is drawing to me my highest good. And this perfect life force flows freely and joyfully through me in this divine creative process. This is my potential, and now I choose to be. Thank you, God. Amen.